I really didn't come prepared. So this may be a message or it may be a Bible study. It'll be from the Word of God. I can tell you that. If you have your Bible this morning, I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. If you'd like to stand for a few moments, we'll read a few verses of Scripture here. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to read one verse of Scripture. We're going to probably take several from this passage, but one verse of Scripture in verse number 6. Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, or whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Amen. Let's lift our hands this morning and thank the Lord for his presence this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit today, Lord. Thank you for your word, O God. Thank you, Lord, that we are in your presence. We are gathered with your holy people, O God, people called by your name. We've gathered, Lord, here in this place, O Lord, and we declare your glory and we declare your presence, O God. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for every heart that is open to your word and your spirit. I thank you, Lord, now, God, and speak to us, Lord. We're just vessels of clay. We are nothing without you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to speak to the need of this hour, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture we started with says, be careful for nothing. And you know, we can worry, but worry is faith in a negative direction. That's really what worry is. I remember several years ago in Michigan, we had a lady in our church, Sister Napier, and she called the pastor one day, and she said, brother, she said, I'm not going to be able to make it to church tonight because I think I'm going to have a headache. And sure enough, she did have one because that's what her faith was. And you can believe yourself into trouble or you can believe yourself into victory. And, you know, we worry a lot of times. But this scripture charges us to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. There's a difference between worry and being, you know, uptight and anxious and careful and distraught about things and turning to prayer. There's a big difference. One goes in a negative direction, the other goes in a positive direction. And so it says when we do that, then in verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And so it's when we turn to God in prayer that we don't no longer worry. It's at that point that we rely on the Lord. I've been teaching a Bible study with a couple, and they're from a Catholic background. And the man is just coming to a place where he is thinking on spiritual terms. The woman is a very, very devout woman. She is very spiritual-minded. She's not just Catholic. She is a godly woman. And we've been talking to them about several things that's going on in their lives. And over again, we just tell them, put it in God's hands. Put it in God's hands. Put put it in God's hands. There are situations she lost her father, she's lost her husband, she's lost a son. She's got a mother now that's in a psychiatric ward. And over and over again, you know, she says, we've just got to put it in God's hands. And to see her in that position and with all the things that she's dealing with, and yet she's got the peace. There's a peace about her. I remember stepping into her home, and I've been in a lot of homes that are Christian homes, but I stepped into her home the first time, and I felt the presence of God. I felt the peace of God. She doesn't have the Holy Ghost, but she is a godly woman, and the presence of God is there in her home. And it's because she has learned the secret of just turning it over to the Lord. She's learned that secret. You know, sometimes we as Pentecostals, we think that we've got a little corner over here and that we're the only ones that's got anything of God. But, you know, there's people out there in this world that do know something about God. They may not have everything that we have, but they have something. They have something. And it's like the Bible talks about the man in the book of Acts. His name was Apollos. And he was shown the way of the Lord more perfectly. And that's what our effort is with this couple, is to show them something more than what they have experienced. And so God wants us to be careful for nothing. And he says then to think upon these things in verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely, pure, of good report, virtue, and praise. Think on these things. You know, a lot of things come into our life, and if we're not careful, it'll crowd all the things of God right out of our lives. It'll push God right from our consciousness, and we begin to dwell on everything else except the presence of God. But the Bible here is exhorting us to do these things. Think on these things. Be careful for nothing, but think on these things. Be careful. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry, but think on these things. And God will make a way in our lives. In the first part of this chapter, Paul is speaking here, and he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, verse 1, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He's exhorting these to stand fast, the church of Philippi. He's telling them to stand fast. In verse 2, he's telling a couple of men that they would get together. He's saying in verse 2, I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche, I guess is how you say that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Sometimes people get out of sorts with one another, even in the church. And so he's telling, let's get this thing together. Let's get this thing together. Let's have some unity here. And he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. There's some rich words here in this passage of Scripture. These women that labored with him in the gospel. Amen. Here were two men that were maybe at odds with each other, and they needed to get together. And here's some women that had labored, and he's saying, I entreat thee, help those women. You know, look at this. It says, help those women that helped me in the gospel. They labored with me. He said, true yoke fellow. Now, what does that say to you? A yoke person is somebody that's under a load. True yoke persons, get under the load and push. Amen. Get under the load and push. True yoke fellow. And so these women, they had been doing that, but now they need help. You know, there's a time when somebody's strong, and there's a time when someone is weak. And when someone is weak, then someone else needs to come along and lift up and strengthen and help that person. Every one of us are going to go through times of great refreshing in the Lord and times of great struggle in the Lord in our faith. And it's at that time that we need someone that comes along that's a true yoke fellow and gets under that load and helps push along together. Amen. We can lighten one another's load, or we can burden down each other. And that's why we come to church and we have prayer requests, because somebody over here is in need and somebody else over here is in need. And here we are, we get in the presence of God. And as true yoke fellow, we begin to lift that load up. We lift it up toward God. Hallelujah. Because that's what the church is all about. Can you say amen? The church is about bearing one another's burdens. And so fulfill we the law of God. And so the Bible is there's just some wonderful exhortation here in this chapter. And he says, these things in verse 9, which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Just simple, just do. He says in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's pretty simple, isn't it? We've seen things, we've heard things, we've experienced things. But you know what? That little word do is really a hard thing to do. It is. We can hear the scripture, we can think about the scripture, and we can know what's right and hear what's right and understand what's right, but then putting it down where the shoe leather meets the road and do. Just simply do. Do. That's what it just simply says. And then it says, the God of peace shall be with you. Why? Because we have seen it, we've heard it, we've seen other people experience, we've learned it, we've received it, but now we're doing it, and that's where the peace comes. Hallelujah. How many of you need peace in your life this morning? Amen. That's where the peace comes, is in knowing and doing. This couple that we've been teaching, you know, I've gone through Noah, and I've just taught them Wednesday night about Abraham. And we've talked about Enoch and Methuselah and all those great men of the book of Genesis. And it's amazing how when God spoke to Noah, he told him all those things. And it says Noah did all the things that God commanded him to do. He did it. Amen. When God promised Abraham all those things, the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And that's what made him the father of the faithful, was because he didn't just hear the word of God, but he put it into action. He believed it and he did it. Praise God. Everywhere he went, he was building altars. Everywhere he went, God had told him, every place you put the sole of your feet, you walk upon this land up and down, north and south, east and west. He said, every step that you take, I'm going to give you that land. And you know what he did? He became a pilgrim. He became a pilgrim, and he journeyed, and everywhere he went, he built an altar because he was claiming the land that God had given to him. Hallelujah. He claimed it. Hallelujah. And so that little word, do, is important to us. Do. Do. Amen. Be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And so, just a little farther on in this chapter, it says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. This is verse 10. Verse 11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, everybody say learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Here's a man that has learned how to pray. He's learned how to turn things over to God. He's learned that in doing what God wants him to do, there's peace. And because of that, he can say what he says in verse 11. I've learned that in whatsoever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. Hallelujah. Satisfied. Amen. At peace with it. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. There he has had the highlights of grandeur and the low points of defeat. He has known them both. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul had experienced it all. He had been shipwrecked. He had been beaten. He had been left for dead. He had been run out of town. He had been afflicted in his body. He sought the Lord several times, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He knew what it was to be an outcast and hated for the name of Jesus Christ. And so when he speaks these words, he's speaking them from truth. And if we walk with the Lord very long, we're going to experience things like this. Amen. You know, So many people have a warped sense of walking with the Lord, and that everything is always going to be okay and everything is going to be rosy. It's not always going to be wonderful and perfect. But in the midst of all of that, we can still learn the peace of God that passes all understanding. We can learn the peace of God that passes all understanding. And he says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Praise God. Here's a man that had gone up and he had gone down. He had been hungry. He had been full. He had been educated and he had felt totally empty. He had seen and he had been blinded by the Lord. And now he can say, I can do all things. Not through Paul. Not through Paul. What did he tell us down there in verse 9? Do. And what he says up here in verse number 13, I can do. I can do. I can do it all through Jesus Christ. Not in myself, but I can do it through Jesus Christ. Brother Turner was talking about being delivered from cigarettes and smoking. You know, it's an ongoing miracle, Brother Turner. It's an ongoing miracle. There was a pastor I knew in Illinois many years ago. He had a drinking problem before he came to the Lord. And this man at that time was in his late 70s. And he told me how that when he came to the Lord, he had drank beer. And he said, you know, Brother Gentry, he said, to this day, he said, if I get a whiff of a beer, he says, sometimes the urge is so strong. He had had the Holy Ghost for over 50-some years. And he said, I know it's only by the grace of God. You see, I can do all things through him. I can't do it in my own strength, but I can do it in him. And he was relying on the Lord day by day by day by day by day. It was an ongoing victory. It was an ongoing battle, but it was an ongoing victory. Hallelujah. And God gave him the strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And sometimes we want to take the glory for ourselves. And I know this morning that there's no good thing in myself. I can only do good as God allows me to do so. As he gives me the strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then in verse 14, I'm not going to be very long here, I can tell you that. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And there he says again, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Apparently there had been need, and that need had been expressed. He probably had prayed about it, but in the praying about it, God allowed someone else to find out about it. Hallelujah. Isn't that the way God works? We pray about it, but God somehow supplies that need many times through someone else, doesn't he? And that's exactly what he says in verse 19. As I was coming over here this morning, the Lord spoke this verse to me. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And it was after I had a phone call that this verse came to me. I didn't know Brother Turner was going to ask me to preach this morning. And I don't think I'm really preaching, but I'm just kind of sharing some things with you here. I was talking to Brother Schaefer in Schuylkill Haven. Brother Schaefer's gone through a horrible struggle in recent years. His wife had a horrible accident a few years ago. Almost died, and then he had a back injury, was out of work for 22 months, just went back to work back in October, and we've been going down helping him some on Wednesday nights. But he's got a couple of new families that have started coming to church. And he told me this morning. This one young couple has been coming to church about 2.5 years. And they've been trying to be faithful to God, and they're living for the Lord to the best that they can. But they got themselves upside down financially. Didn't know how they were going to make their mortgage payments. They got a letter from the bank. The bank wants them to come in to see them. And they knew that they were in trouble, and they just were avoiding going to the bank. But his wife had to go to the bank on Friday. She goes into the bank, and the bank president says, "I need to talk to you." And I'm sure her heart was probably going like this. And she said, "I've been intending to call you. We needed to come by and talk to you. We know we're upside down and everything, and we're way behind on our mortgage." He said, "No, no, no." He says, "No." He says, "You don't understand. Your mortgage is paid in full." She said, "How?" They don't know how. She thought she still owed 8 years on her mortgage. Somehow. Somehow, that mortgage was paid. What am I saying? Here's a couple that had dedicated their lives to God, doing what all they can do. They think they're walking in there that the banker's going to give them a hard time, and he's saying, "No, no, no, no. Your mortgage has been paid for." And after he told me that, I lost connection coming over the mountains. But the Lord said, "My God shall supply." Hallelujah. My God shall. Everybody say, "My God shall." My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. My God shall. Brother Turner, God knew those pipes were frozen. Yes, he did. He knows where you're at this morning, and he wants you to know that he shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And that is the word of God, my friend. That is the word of God. That is the word of God. My God shall. Everybody say, "My God shall." My God shall. Amen. Now, I got to share something with you. Because my wife, I love her dearly. And she's a lot of fun. She's crazy sometimes. But I got to tell you something. I'll ask her a question, and she'll say, "Maybe." "Possibly." And it's sometimes it's just so hard to get a yes or no. A definite answer. But this is a definite answer. My God, maybe, possibly, if the circumstances are right. No, my God shall. And the Bible says his word is forever settled in heaven. Not one dot, not one tittle, not one trace of his word is ever going to pass away. That, my friend, is the word of God. Amen. That is the word of God, and it cannot pass away. And we need to learn again to stand upon the promises of God. The promises of God are yea and amen in him. Amen. Promises. We make promises, and we many times are not able to keep them. We make vows sometimes that we're not able to keep. We make dedications to God sometimes that we stumble in and fail. And if we'll bring that weakness to God, God will exchange that weakness for strength. But what we do many times when we stumble and when we fail and we come short, we want to run, we want to hide, and think God doesn't want anything to do. But what God allows in our lives is He allows times to show our weaknesses so that He can show His strength. I shared this the other night at our Bible study with this couple, and it was telling them how this man had told his son, "Son, go out there and move this rock." Now, Rick, he's a German fella. He's strong. His dad was strong. He come from strong German stock, and he knows what the value of hard work is. And so I got his attention immediately. And so the boy goes out there, and he's working hard. It's a big boulder. It's not just a little rock. It's a big boulder. And he's working and working and working, digging and prying and digging, trying to get that rock to move. He worked all day long. He's dirty and he's sweating. He's just in a real bad shape. And son, the father says, "Son, come on, let's get that rock moved." "Dad, I'm working as hard as I can." "No, you're not. You're not giving it all your strength yet." And he just keeps on, and he's working and working and working. And finally, the day is just about over, and the boy's out there, and he's crying. "And Dad, I worked all day long. I can't move this rock. I've used all my strength, Dad, and what am I going to do?" He said, "No, you haven't used all your strength yet because you haven't asked me to help you." And that's the way many times we do in our problems. We try our best to go through it and dig it out and do it ourselves. And when all God is waiting for, He allowed that weakness to be exposed so that we would cast all of our cares upon Him and say, "Lord, I need Your help. I need Your help." And it's then that we tap into the strength that is greater than anything we can imagine. It's when we tap into that almighty, omnipotent God. We tap into that strength that is greater than anything. David said, "I will look unto the hills whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." There's a rock that is higher than I. Amen. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I am. Amen. And so this verse of here, verse 19, Philippians 4:19. We need to memorize this. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. God shall. I don't know what you're struggling with right now. I don't know what all your burdens are right now. But I've got a God that is mammoth in size. He spans from eternity past to eternity future. He spans as far as you can go to the north or to the south, to the east or to the west. Any direction you go, my God is already there and He has already been there. No matter what your need is, He has already experienced it. He already knows what it is. He's bigger than all of that. And He will make a way where there seems to be no way. A little Bible story about the three Hebrew children. You know, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, they said, "O king, we don't know if the Lord is going to deliver us from that fire. We know He's going to deliver us from your hand. If He uses that fire to deliver us, we're still going to be delivered from your hands. If He delivers us in the fire, out of the fire, it doesn't matter. Anyway, we're going to be delivered. And it doesn't matter if we live here and we experience victory or if God delivers us by taking us out by rapture or even by way of the grave. It doesn't matter. God's going to give us the victory." Can you say amen? And when we go into situations with that kind of attitude, it doesn't matter what the devil throws at us or what life throws at us or what comes around the curve that we don't expect. Amen. If we just trust in the Lord and put it into His hands, He's going to take care of us. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that this morning. And verse 20 says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And the last three verses of this chapter says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. A couple months ago, I preached a message about blessing. And the word blessing literally means to salute. When someone salutes someone, it's a recognition of higher position. When God blesses us, what God has to do, he has to stoop down to us, down to our level, to salute us. Amen. That's what God does. He stoops down to bless us. He is so great and so magnificent, he literally stoops down to bless us. Amen. And when we salute one another, we're acknowledging a superiority. Amen. I salute you, my brother. I salute you. It says here, the saints, salute the saints. Salute somebody right now. Salute. Salute. All, it says, all the saints salute you. He's talking about all the saints, chiefly those of Caesar's household. We're talking about high-ranking people in Caesar's household, and they're stooping down and saluting. Amen. We need to salute one another this morning. This may be a small group here this morning, but there's godly, holy people here. And God highly esteems you. Amen. He treasures you and values you more than what you can ever comprehend. Amen. What he has placed in you is eternal. Amen. What he has placed in you, the Holy Ghost, is eternal. He's given us the eternal word of God. He has invested his righteousness in us. We are nothing in ourselves. He is God and all in all. He is our Savior. Our greatest need this morning is just to acknowledge his power this morning. Amen. And so we salute. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you. Amen. Amen. You may not find when you go down through the streets that someone is greeting you nicely and kindly, but you can be assured that in the household of faith that the saints of God are saluting you. All over the world, somewhere today, there are people worshiping God, and they together are saluting us, and we salute them together. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm glad to be a part of the body of Christ this morning. Can you say amen? Amen. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Amen. God bless you this morning. I don't know if this has done anything for you, but I know that my God is big enough to take care of my needs this morning. Amen. God bless you, Brother Turner. Amen. I love you, brother.
I salute you. Hallelujah. Wasn't that a great message? I love real stuff, you know. And sometimes I know young preachers especially, they feel like they have to have a masterpiece to preach. And I think just the simple truth of God's word is so great a value. And the richness of the simplicity, you know, let no man beguile you through vain religion and false doctrines and taking you away from the simplicity of Christ. It's so simple, amen, that a wayfaring man, though he be a fool, should not err therein. Simplicity. Beautiful. The beauty of it. Amen. Now, I know faith is high here right now, because the entrance of thy word giveth light. Hallelujah. And so the enlightenment that God gives to us from his word, that encouraging word, that rhema word, amen, the word for right now to your spirit, amen. And you caught a word of faith this morning as God has again given to us that encouragement and the encouraging word, amen. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His grace divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Amen. Now, I had a pastor that said, well, I don't like to sing that song because there's promises of judgment in there.